Right. Lord, we thank you that when the word goes forth, you travel with it. It's not just a word. It's a living word. And we thank you, Lord God, that since you travel with the word, that's where all our power comes from. That's where you give us our true nature, not just human nature, but spiritual nature. So we thank you for that, Lord, and pray that today you would quicken us to be prepared for everything that's coming. And so we give you praise for all the enemies that we have, all the problems you have. You said, don't worry about it, don't think about it. Turn your eyes from fixing the world up. Turn your eyes from not focusing on problems and troubles, but let us behold you, our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom. We give you all the praise. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. So, in the third chapter, you have three churches. And since the only one of the three that belongs of interest is the lukewarm church. And so the lukewarm church is a church that tolerates sin. And so all the problems that are having today are due to the church. If you had a cold church, it'd be no problem. I'm sorry to say it that way. Because God's truth always destroys God's lies. So there's no problem. But the middle one mixes everyone up. It's like the fig leaves that they wore in the garden. They were pretending like fig leaves covered them instead of the blood of Jesus. And by pretending, then today the world is impressed with burning down and pulling down statues and destroying America and so on and so forth. And the whole world is watching, especially Israel. The whole world wants to know how it's all going to come out, what's going to happen. But because we have a lukewarm church, that's not us. We're not a lukewarm church. But if you have a lukewarm church, then there's no men of God after God's own heart. Now, I don't think there's a church or a church or a church. We're talking about the church, and that's individuals here, families here, and so on and so forth. So you do well then to pay attention, because truth is just not, it's rare. It's rare in our day. Because even if you knew the truth, you wouldn't want to preach it. I'm going to say that again. Even if you knew the truth, you wouldn't want to preach it, but you have to. And so we do. And by telling you the truth, that'll set you free. But you have to redefine all terms, because freedom does not mean free to be a licentious. The people in our country that have gotten into a lot of power because they believe that freedom is having the drugs you want. Freedom is having the sex you want. The freedom is, you know, it's just licentious. So if you use that, then that it has to be redefined according to God's understanding, that you'd have to be mature, spirit, soul, and body. So you can see here 4, 5, and 6, the first three, is the atonement. It isn't enough, but you have to start it on something. This is the foundation. So justification by faith is something that God did. To him that worketh not, I could put that all up here, but it's not important. What's important is that these three are the atonement. And Jesus did them all. And he did them all for free. They're all gifts. Nothing is earned. You don't do good works. You're not capable of doing works. No one is capable of doing what God can do. You cannot do a good work. Only God is good. And no one else is good but God. And no one else is good but God. So none of us are good. And you need to confess your sins, that I didn't say confess it like understand it or want to do it, or just confess it. Lord, I did this. I exaggerated today. Lord, I was angry. I didn't forgive so-and-so. Blah, blah, blah. So all those things. So the church is loaded down with sin today. Any church is loaded down with sin, but the only thing he wants you to do is confess it. Homo means same, and legeo means called out of this world, and just say the same thing God says about it. If you're a saint, you're a saint. If you're a sinner, you're a sinner. If whatever he says, you have to say the same thing God says. So we live not by bread alone, but by every word that constantly, continually, present active indicative, most real grammatical statement on earth. He is then doing something, because we're going to live by every word that constantly is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Not some words, not a few words, all of it. So you have to have the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, then you wouldn't pay attention to the Bible. And many Christians, they don't. So I would say it's rare, but in this church, I think we have quite a few people that read the Bible. And faith cometh by hearing. But you can't hear to understand. You can't hear to feel it. You can't hear to want to do it. You have to go against yourself. You have to go against yourself. Paul says, I die daily. If Paul dies daily, he's talking about he reads the Bible every day, and he dies daily. Faith is dying daily. So I have faith in 4, faith in 5, faith in 6, and then it just keeps going on. I could have 7 and 8 and 9, and it could keep going. Because when it's all over, then you will understand why God did what was good to you. And he gave you laughter. You can rejoice that he died on the cross for you, so you're born again. You have a new heart. But you don't have a new soul. And so you have to kill the old soul. Only you can't do it. God not only died for you on the cross to save you and then present you to God the Father on our behalf, because we couldn't present ourselves because we didn't know how to present ourselves. So he did that for us. So you have faith in him doing what you ought to have done, could have done, should have done. But once you do that, then you have a foundation. But 99.999% of Christians that I know, they just stop right here because they don't want to suffer in chair 5 and they don't want to love their neighbor in chair 6. So then you won't be a bride with spots. You'll be a bride with spots and wrinkles and all kinds of blemishes and so on. But God won't accept that for heaven. So it's God's love to send you through 4, 5, and 6. That's the atonement. Always threefold, never 2, never 4. But I've heard a lot of teachings, and it's not accurate. So everything is that this is your destiny, but it's not the end. Because not only are you a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing as a church, but you are also then able to not only being perfect in 6 is perfect. This is perfect love. This one is your soul has to die every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Well, that would mean you'd have to renew your faith, renew your faith, renew your faith, so that then you can love your neighbor as yourself. That's the end of the law. So now God is completely satisfied, but then the reward is you'll be the bride without spot. He had to do this and this and this and this besides create you in the first place. So since everything is a gift of God, it's a present. You don't have to pay him back. It's a gift you don't pay for. If somebody gives you a gift, you didn't pay for it. It's just free. And you don't deserve the gift. He just gives it to you because he said you need it in order to go to heaven. So his whole goal is to get you to 6 and 7 and 8 and so on. So that when you get that, for example, this I could make this one 7. 8. Where am I? 7. Yeah, 8. Would be a crown that doesn't fade. And that means you don't have to tarnish it. You don't have to worry about it. That crown will never fade. So when they throw the crowns before Jesus in heaven, all the saints, the elders, when they throw those crowns, we don't know if that's a gold crown. It's what we usually think of as a crown. But it could be like the Olympics where they have a thing that crowns their head. It's not a crown of thorns. So it could be that kind of crown, and that would be easy also. So that's another thing. But then there's another thing and another thing and so on and so forth. So all of these things is, for example, it's going to end up in the inherit God, and God inherits you. Do you understand what I just said? So you don't get something like a mansion or, you know, a tent or something like that. What you get is God himself, because God wants to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with you. You inherit him, he inherits you. You are the inheritance of God. He's glorified by your going through this process. And since you don't have anything to do with it, it's all by faith. It's all by faith. Even here in 6, you're loving your neighbor. You're loving your neighbor. But in 6, God's perfect love is working itself out in your life by a gift so that you are perfect now. And that's why you can be a bride without spot, without wrinkle. And then that's why you get your crown. And then you inherit everything Jesus has, because you're under the law of your husband. I could preach on that. The 7th chapter of Romans preaches on that. So the wife, which will be the bride, the wife of Jesus, is something that God wants you to know, that ultimately everyone will be a son of God, masculine, but everyone will be a bride of Christ, feminine. And so the woman in the Bible is always the church. So when you see Jezebel, she's part of the church, the false church, because she still wanted to make provision for flesh. And the church today does. It's easy to illustrate. But so I don't believe that people are teachable today. I believe that if you preach the Bible, it always accomplishes everything God wants. So you don't do it because then you have bigger numbers. You just do it because God said do it. So that's my job, to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But there's a timing to that also. Some of the truths, the world is more interested in marketing today than they are in knowing the Lord. Normally, no one wakes up and thinks, God, this is my life. You're my whole life, beholding him. And so I just want to keep my eyes on you, never look away, never be bothered by the enemy, never be troubled by anything that comes up. Because if I look at you, and I know you're at the right hand of God, so I know you're already in your place, and I'll end up there later. But if you do that, you grow. You're not changed by anything else in this world. Nothing in this world do you need. Bread, yeah, but God will supply that. But there's nothing you can do to get the bread. It's just work hard. But you don't live by bread alone. So you're not perfect until you have God's love, and then faith and hope disappear. Faith and hope disappear. So 4 and 5 are not there anymore. 5 is faith. 6 then is hope, because you're going through all the troubles to die. So we have trouble dying. How many know people have trouble dying to themselves? Because they don't want to be a Christian all the way with Jesus, because you could have to suffer and you'd be persecuted and you'd be pursued and you would be until they drive you out. There's an anti-Christian spirit today in the world. It's all over the world. It's not only religions, but it's also governments as well. And it's in our own country. And I could name the states, not important. But so today we are a divided nation, just like Israel's divided in the Old Testament. Judah and also Benjamin. But also the 10 tribes went into Assyrian exile. And you'd think that would teach the rest of the church to shape up. Didn't, and it won't. It didn't, and it won't. So you might think the last church would be a really good one. You might think that. It's wrong. And that's why it has to be the lukewarm church is the last test for us. Then you'll have a testimony. Because it's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So your end is 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, however far it goes. And it's easy to do that because we're told in the scriptures what more has to happen. But one thing you want is just keep going on the process. Don't worry what grade you're in. Don't worry what state you're in. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the only way you grow. And we are changed from one degree of glory, sanctification, and then that leads to another degree of glory, glorification. That's 6. So now we're glorified, perfected by love, led by the Spirit, and you're sons of God. That's how you become a son. So we're a bride of Christ, and we're the sons of God also. Because even as Jesus has two natures, we'll have two natures. Do you understand? But the Holy Spirit, everyone here was born of the flesh, but no one here is stayed born of the flesh. By bread alone. You know, you can eat bread alone, but it won't get you to heaven. And if you just stop at, if you stop at just 4, and everybody does, if you stop at 4, you'll never grow. It'd be like a little child, but you never grow up. So you can't become a young man or a young woman, and you can't become a mature mother or father, perfect. To telestai, meaning the last things that are ordained, we're entering into that right now. We're already in it. You're not. It could be in your lifetime that we actually see the Lord return. Probably not in mine. But in yours. And right now, my only life is to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I don't have 2 agendas. That's it. So he's my all in all. Would that that were true in Alex Posey. Right. So that you pray. And you just say, hey, God, I was a little bit off today. I wasn't perfect today. I didn't pay close attention to the Bible. Blah, 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 blah. So you can't brag and boast on something God has given to you. You have nothing to brag on because you never did a good work. But Catholics are still around. The Jews are still around. The Muslims are still around. The Buddhists are still around. The Confucianists are still around. And so on and so forth. So all those religions, I don't know how many there are, but lots of them, they're totally will perish. They're all man-made. 100% man-made. Ours was the only one that Jesus, the Son, came down to show us his Father's love toward him and his love toward the Father. Always do what pleasing to my Father in heaven. So that's a model for us to do always what he did. And he did it by faith, by the way. So by the faith of Jesus, he had faith that the Father would raise him from the dead because he knew he came to die for your sins. And he wants to remove all those sins, so he's busy, but there's something in us that doesn't want to give up certain sins. Right? Your vain imagination, you know, being selfish, wanting everything to go your way, trying to control things, and so on and so forth. So all kinds of things that you could list for a long time, and you'd still not, you wouldn't exhaust how many ways there are to sin against God. But the most important thing is, by faith, it cancels all that out. So if you have faith that God has described you in the New Testament, and he has described you in the Old Testament, but it's under a law, but it's actually under a promise. Mitzavah. Mitzavah. And it could be a decree, it could be a statute, it could be all kinds of things. But the most important thing is, it could either be a promise or a law. But what if the law said something like this? I command you to believe my word. Did you see what I just did? I just confused you because I command you, you thought that was a command, to then believe. To him that worketh not, but believeth. To him that worketh not, but believeth. So I commanded you to believe. That the one above, the Father, justifies the ungodly. So that's the only way you can get to heaven. You'd have to be ungodly. Well, fortunately, you're born that way. As a matter of fact, you're conceived that way in the womb. When he writes on you, this one belongs not to the emperor, not to the pope, not to any human leader. This one belongs to me. I will judge this one. This particular person, I know he knows your name. He already knows what you name five names later. It doesn't make any difference. God knows everything. And since he owned you, because he created you, now he owns you. And then he had Jesus pay the price for you. And so you're pardoned. You cannot go to hell. It's impossible. Because once he speaks, it settles everything. Once he says you're a saint, you don't see it. The sinners at Rome, it doesn't say that in any of the books. In Colossae, Corinth, you know, it doesn't say it. They're all saints. But that's because from God's point of view, you're already a saint as soon as you hear the words of Jesus and believe the words of Jesus. But even belief and even hearing is a gift of God. So he'd have to do that. To God be the glory. Soli Deo Gloria. So, since God has done everything for you, and you won't find anything in God except mercy and grace and favor and kindness and love and so on, you cannot find anything in God. It's all positive. He never did anything to be paid back. Everyone else wants to pay him back because they feel better. But you're not saved by your feelings. So I don't want to feel better. I never have and I never will. So I don't feel... I was a good message the other day. I don't even think about that. What I preach, I preach. But I don't have any law that I'm under. I have the gospel, the good news. I'm under that. So I'm under grace, not under law. You'd have to believe that the New Testament says it clearly. The Old Testament, it's hidden. But you can read between the lines and find out that it's in the Old Testament. So, Moses, we had a whole year on this, never preached the law. Never preached the law to the children of Israel. Never. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I know? It's easy. The New Testament says he wrote of me. John 5. John 5 says he not only wrote of me, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and influencing all the rest of the Old Testament. If you had believed his writings, then you would have believed my words. So I know you're not a believer. So your house is desolate. It's the end of Israel. It's the end of Israel. Israel, the only way they can get back now is you'd have to be born again. Chair 4. You'd have to be a messianic who heartfelt, it touched your heart. Boom. And it's happened to a lot of people in Israel. We don't know the exact numbers. Maybe the government does, but I doubt it. We don't know the exact numbers because people are secretive about things that they believe in. But I imagine there's quite a few because they are the swing vote in any election by parliament. They are the swing vote. And so to be the prime minister in Israel, you'd have to have made a bargain with the Messianic Jews in the Knesset. And so everything is not what you think it is. Everything is upside down. Everything. In other words, America is even built on fiction. I could easily prove that, but I'm just saying to you, it happened even in the 17th century, 1600s. They just made it up, and they're just pretending. And so it used to be the king, then it was a parliament, then the parliament was Presbyterian. A lot of people didn't like the Presbyterians, and then it became then the people. And the sovereignty of the people was totally talked about in the 17th century, especially by the time of the Glorious Revolution, 1688. But that was all based on 1628, the Petition of Right. So all of that was done by Lord Coke or Cook. And people then built that on the Magna Carta, and then there were other things, other documents. So we're just pretending like, because who made that decision? Did the king make that decision? No. They chopped his head off. So that was Charles. But then his children, Charles II and James II, they tried to make everything work, but they just had things that they just made up. So if the king can be called a traitor, because they had the idea, the king can do no wrong. Once the king does wrong, he's not a king. Now he's a tyrant. That's how James Otis understood it in America. So everything is a fiction. It's just pretending. We're all pretending. But that's why the church is lukewarm, because there's no truth from the church. So you'd have to see that these denominations are all man-made. All of them. All of them. Even though there's no sin in the Philadelphia church, the sixth church, there's no sin. They don't mention anything sin. So that was the time that Luther not only started the Reformation in Europe, but then they came over to here, to America, and then they built America. But what is it to be an American today? Who is in charge? Do you see everything is being messed up today? We have co-equal branches, but they get it mixed up with bureaucrats. They get it mixed up with everything because people are just making it up. They want a way around the Constitution. They want a way around the Bible. They want to change the hermeneutic. They want to change the way that you understand the text that you're reading. So those understandings are, if they're by God, perfect. If they're by man, not perfect. They're mutable. Whereas everything God says and does is immutable. You cannot change it. God changeth not. So you can't change God. It's the one thing you cannot do. So if you think God is gone to sleep, or you think he's, you know, busy upstairs doing something else, looking at the Chinese while he takes his eyes off of America, you don't understand God. He never changes. So he's always the same. So he's the only one that's good. He's the only one that's gracious. He's the only one that's merciful. So he's forgiven everybody's sin. When he forgave the sin on the cross, everybody's sin was forgiven. Everybody's. But nobody took deliverance. A handful of people. So in the early centuries, about every one out of 350, 360 people believed in Jesus. But some were phony. Some were lukewarm. Some were cold. And that was a problem that entered into the early church. By the time of the Reformation, one out of 50. By our time, we've only known it since one out of three is a Christian. So we've actually advanced without knowing it. And so God is about to come back, send his son to come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he'll be the judge. All power and all authority in heaven and on earth hath been given to me. So Jesus is not just the God of the universe as he is Son of God. He's Son of Man, thou. And then he's going to take all the nations of the world and lift them up to the Father in heaven. But he's always been Son of God, even while we're Son of Man. So he has two natures. You also have two natures. And so everything today is mixed up. And all I want to do is tell you the truth, the whole truth. And it takes a while. How many know you can't tell the whole truth every time? So you have to use like summaries. So we'll look at this book or this book and so on and so forth. But you can't tell all of the things. Nobody can. There's not a person on earth that says it all. Only God. So since God then inspires men, and then it's written in your book, it's not going to be added to. You can't subtract or add to that Bible. You understand? The Bible says so. So nobody's going to add to the text. The text is there. Textus Receptus for the Greek, and then the Masoretic text for the Hebrew. And that's why I read those every day, including the Latin, so that I know all the saints. And I know not only that, I know the Greek and the Hebrew saints. They're listed, just a smattering, in the New Testament in Hebrews, 11th chapter. So you can see Moses is in the 11th chapter, and he obviously was not a lawman. The only way he got in was because of the gospel. And Moses knew that. He knew the word mitzvah, or tzavah. You can say it in a lot of ways, but they're all the same. Mi just means my. So my law, my promise, my. And so mitzvah means that you can't tell whether it's a statute or whether it's a decree or whether it's something. All you know is it came from God. And you can't tell the difference between, and I shared this with you earlier, why can't he command you to believe? So it sounds like a contradiction. You say, I command you to read it, because if you don't, you're in trouble. So you're both keeping the law and not keeping the law, because it's actually a promise. So nothing wrong, it's just in the form of a law. And you do that by inflection, and you don't do it by reading the text. You shall not have any other gods before you. That is a command by my inflection. You shall not have any other gods before me. Oh, that's different. Now, I'm giving you a promise, and I'm just saying, you shall not have that. That's the way we raised our kids. We raised our children by never saying, you are bad, you're going to get a spanking. We never did that. We always said, Christians don't do that. Even before they even knew what that meant. That they just knew it. Because the only thing, the only law we had in our family was, you're going to be a woman of God and you're going to be a man of God and so on and so forth. Just said that to them. And they didn't think about it. They just, yeah, whatever dad says, he's the boss. And they still respect me to the day, and mom too. Even if they had their eyes flick up like that, they'd get a spanking. So I raised them under the law so I could teach them the gospel when I forgave them. Did you hear what I just said? Just like God. So as little children, except you become like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. As a little child, they feared me because I was taller and stronger, and had, I know where the stick lay. So when they're young, you raise them under the spanking stick, right? But then after a while, and I'm sure, I never counted, but I'm sure they only had probably, I don't know, 10 spankings in their life. Maybe not even that. Because I loved them. From the beginning, I never wanted to spank him. I had to go against my own will. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Or if you actually teach them the Lord from the beginning, they'll end up, you know, if you train them that way, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, He will not depart from that. Isn't that amazing? Not everybody believes that today because we have different philosophies and ideologies. So I disagree with all of it. Everything that comes from Europe is not any good. Now, what Luther said was as close to the truth as I can find in any of the founders. Wesley wanted to get it, wanted to be perfect and so on, but he never made it. And so a lot of things have come out of that. Calvin had a different understanding. I won't say what it is, but had a different understanding. He actually wanted to do good for the world. He wanted to change the world. And it's never going to work. You cannot change the world. Did you know the world belongs to the devil? He's the god of this world, right? You all are familiar with that. He's the god of this world. But we're not part of the world. We're a new creation. So if we're not part of the world, we don't have anything natural that we rely upon. Everything is unseen. So faith is unseen. You just go by the word. All we have is this word. You can read this word and get it in many, many things. I stick with the King James for no other reason. That's the way I learned it in the first place. But I always change the words according to the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever it is. So I know penitentium agite, which would be Latin, do penance. I know that's false because the whole Bible teaches the opposite. There's a bondage of the will. You cannot have a free will until you're born again. Then you have a free will, but your will is that Jesus will do what you ought to have done. So you don't have faith in yourself. You have faith in Jesus doing what you should have done. And so when Jesus does it, I give him all the glory. I don't give myself any glory because I'm amazed that God would even waste time with me humanly. But I'm not a human. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm led of the Spirit. And so all of that is my atonement. All of that is how I grew up from young child to then young men and young women and then to a mature father, mother. So everything in Christianity is easy. Now, can I preach out of this one? Chapter 3. My prolegomenos, that means my introduction, is actually important because otherwise you just preach it and make comments on it. So it's good that you listen to me because if you do, you'll find out it's very close to the original text, if not identical. And unto the angel in the church of Sardis, that would be chapter 3. So let's skip that one. So I want to start at another one. Let's not do Sardis and Ephesus. We won't do those first ones. We're going to start with verse 14. And unto the angel, that means that God's present in this angel, of the church of the Laodicean means laity, not officer, not an office holder. Laodicean means the people's dikē. Dikē or dikē means when the people rule, make up their own ideas, you're going to be in trouble. So now the church, this church, Laodicea, is actually Laodike. But it means the Laos making up their own laws, like are made up all the time. In our own country now, we have the Democrats making the laws out of the House, and then the Republicans refuse that, and so out of the House. But it's so close today that it could switch any way it wants to. And then you'd be socialist, communist, Marxist, lesbians, transvestites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You'd be Muslims. You'd be all those things because they pay for all this stuff. The money. Money is all kinds of billionaires who have lots and lots of money. So they should win because even if we won, they would challenge it. They would fight you. And so you wouldn't be surprised if you have to go through a little bit of rough stuff. I didn't say that accurately. You'll then, and probably the pastors will pay for it. And so I'll pay for it. Isn't that exciting? So that's exciting. And so if they kill the pastor, at least some of you could be, hide the fact that you're a Christian. You wouldn't want Jesus written on your shirt. Because then it's like wearing a Trump sign today. You're the enemy. Since the world is seemingly falling apart, you might think, hey, maybe he'll do a King David on him. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he'll do a Daniel, blah, blah, blah. So you don't really know how it all works out because those are secrets that belong to God. The revealed things belong to you, but the secrets belong to God. So he doesn't tell you which one this is. For example, when they came in to take the promised land, God went in before they ever went into the promised land and talked to those seven nations who are more numerous than you are. They're stronger than you are. They have all everything. And you cannot fight them. So I'm going to go and put fear on them. Then you can go in after that. And then you can take the land. Possess the land. That's the only way. Without that, it wouldn't happen. That's why Moses said to him, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we ain't going.
That's for sure.
We're not
going
to go unless you are there with me. So you need Jesus every nanosecond.
That's for sure.
Every hour. Every moment. You need Jesus in your life. Now you think, I don't think I need him here because I'm really good at this. That's funny. You're wrong. Wrong. Bad decision. So everything you do is a gift. Everything is a gift. It's not anything you earned. God has never paid a wage to anybody. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't have any merits. You don't have merits. I'm going to plug into the merits of the saints. There aren't any except Jesus. That's it. And so Jesus doesn't want you to rely on anyone else but him. That's what faith is all about. I'm relying on Jesus because he's perfect. I'm relying on the Father because he's perfect. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit because he's perfect. So they all have life in themselves. But the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Why not Jesus? Because he was Son of Man. As Son of God, he could easily raise himself. Didn't need the Father. Because they're all equal. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Christianity is not understood in our day. I would say there's an ignorance of what's in this Bible. And not to criticize. What you do with enemies, forgive them. That's what Jesus said. Forgive them.
Amen.
Love them. Pray for them.
Yeah.
Bless them. Do good for them. Never curse them. There's no curse in the New Testament. Jesus died on the cross for that curse. So that curse is now pardoning you, and you can walk out of your jail cell unless you want to stay there. You can stay in the jail cell, and a lot of people, they don't want to move. Hey, I've been free, but I'm not going to go out that door. I'm sure I'll do something else. Because they didn't have faith that Jesus Christ pardoned them forever and ever and ever, ever. World without end. No beginning, no ending. Now, I don't think anyone here can even imagine that. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine there'll be no bad guys and everybody in heaven will be a saint. I can't imagine that. But we have experiences of that in this life. And so you can imagine a little bit. But you really can't imagine that there's no even possibility in the world to come. And it just goes forever. I can't even think about that. Like eternally? Everlastingly? It's like amazing to me. So that's why I'm willing to suffer in this world. Is everyone here willing to suffer? Because the only way you can go to heaven is to suffer. Chair 5. Chair 5 is you dying to yourself. And the only reason you can love your neighbor as yourself is because you died to yourself. So now you can love your neighbor as yourself because you're dead. So then he then will give your Father in heaven all the glory because what you just did, you must be a child of the living God because you were born again. Now the Spirit fills you every day. The Holy Spirit every day fills you. And then you become a saint not only in by faith, and this by faith. So here you're saved, here you're being saved, and here you'll be whatever God wants you to be, a total saint. So now you're saved, being saved, and yet someday it doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear. We shall see him as he is, and we'll be just like him. Exactly what God wanted. So everybody here wants to be God. Everybody here, everybody in this church wants to be God. In other words, you don't like it when God doesn't tell you everything. You don't like it when you want to control your circumstances. You don't like it when bad things happen. You want God to be your kind of God. That's normal. Everyone seeks glory for themselves. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so God, to humble you, gave you a word that if you even follow it by faith, it's gonna be, I don't really want to do that. I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. And you murmur and you complain and you gripe, because if I were God, I'd do it differently. I'd bless me. Not thinking of anybody else. I'm just thinking about me. I'd bless me. This would be a good time for you, God, to show your words true. And so God does not. He just laughs at that. He laughs at that, because you can't overthrow God. Only one God. There's no rivals for God. You can't compare him to anyone else. He's incomparable. You can't compare them. Doesn't matter what the kid next to you is doing in school. You can't look on his paper. You got to make your own way. And a lot of kids do that. And they try to look over, see what they can do. But there is a right way, and there's a wrong way. So, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, at the beginning of this world, Jesus created the world. The Holy Spirit created the world. The Father created the world. So not only the Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're also the Redeemer. And they all participate in that. They never disagree. When the Father says something, that's the way it is. Boom. Son always agrees. Hey, whatever, to please God. Then the Holy Spirit adds his part. And so they have three personae, persons. They're not the same, but they're also always agreed. No other religion is like that. No other religion is like that. This is the only religion that's true. So the Father loves me, the Holy Spirit loves me, Jesus loves me. Wow. Because God was in Christ, reconciling, katalage, reconciling the world to himself, the world to himself. So you don't have to worry about anything. God already knows the end from the beginning. God's got it all worked out. Before you even were born, he already did. He slew Jesus from the foundation. He slew him. He said, you have to wait 4 days to when you show up on the earth. The day with the Lord is always 1,000 years, so that's 4,000 years. So he had to wait there, looked at his sundial, had to see whether it's not, are you ready for me? No, just be patient. And so Jesus had faith in God because he was Son of Man that would die for you so you wouldn't have to die ever, 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 ever. So now I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. That's a perfect past. I've been born again. Perfect present. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So all of us are new. How did you get it? You didn't. It's just a gift. You didn't do anything to get it. You didn't do anything to get it. It's just a gift. And gifts are never repaid because they're gifts. So you don't have to pay the guy back because it's just a gift. Everything God, he's the only giver in the whole universe. There's no one else that gives. No one. When you give, it's just because God prompted you to, he used you to give the gift. The mailman, just deliver it. But you don't read the letter. You don't look on it. You just simply do what God says. So, Church of Laodicea, verse 15, I know thy works. This is Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Zestos, like zeal. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. And so, because of that, you're lukewarm. And lukewarm people don't go to heaven. As a matter of fact, he said, I spew you out of my mouth. In other words, I can't talk to you because you say you're a Christian, but you're acting like a pagan. Or, not only that, your heart is not doing what I wanted you to do. So, King David sinned a lot. But God also said, he's a man after my own heart. So it isn't how much you sin in your behavior that matters to God. It's where your heart wants to do what God wants you to do. Bad father, counting the people, slept with Bathsheba, killed Uriah, his best friend, betrayed him. He's a bad person. Not looking at behavior. He's only looking at one thing. In his job that I gave him to be king over Israel, in that job, he always, and if he doesn't, he confesses it. So, how many know God has confessed you because of that cross forever? Forever. It's a one-time event. He doesn't have to do it twice. Once he did that, you are now clean. So, this one is forgiveness. This one is cleansing you from all unrighteousness so that your heart is pure. This one is your purity on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. It can't be in heaven. Because if you're in heaven, then you're in heaven. This one is on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why when men see your good works, they'll thank you, but they don't. The Bible says they thank God, your Father in heaven. So they know you have the true God. So you can prove it by doing nothing and letting Jesus do it all for you. And people say, Daniel, you have the Spirit of the living God. Nebuchadnezzar could see that right away. Or Joseph. The Pharaoh could see that right away. I had this dream. I don't even know what it is. So could you tell me the dream that I dreamt and then tell me what that meaning is? And so he said, no, I can't. But I know someone who can. And when he did, he gave glory to the Father. He gave glory to somebody else. So God actually is in charge of all world history. Everything in history of the world is going to end up wonderful. Everything in the history of the world is wonderful. We have that guarantee. So you could go ahead and suffer because your suffering would just be enduring to the end by still trusting in Jesus, still doing what God wants done. Then you can do it by faith. Then you can do it by sight. You can actually do everything in this world that God assigns you to do. So you just do what he says. So you're going to be happy from now on.
Amen.
Everybody say it. I will be happy from here on out. I'll not be miserable.
Amen.
Now that was by faith. Because you know you will be miserable. You know that when you try to do it. You're going to be miserable. If I have to do it, okay, I'll do it. But I don't want to do it. But, you know, I have to go against myself. I like to be a better self than I am. How many knows he doesn't want you to be honest or, you know, your kind of understanding of what you're doing? Just leave it. Leave it alone. Jesus wants it to be by faith because you have faith in someone other than yourself, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. Buddhists, they won't be Buddhists anymore. Hindus, they won't be Hindus anymore. I don't care who it is. Every knee will bow. Everybody. That doesn't mean they're Christian. It just simply means they acknowledge that when they see him on that white horse and they see the host of heaven behind him, which is 2/3 of the angels, and they see that host, and those people are probably taller than we are. It could be, you know. And some of the descriptions in there were even people that were 10 feet tall. And there's might be even more than that. So imagine the angels a little bit taller than people. So if somebody has described it, I don't trust that. I only trust what's in the Bible. If the Bible doesn't say it, I'm not going to believe it. I only believe this, that we will win. We've already won. We're already overcomers. We're already the salt of the earth. We're already the light of the world, etc., etc., etc. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the faithful and true witness, Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God." He was right there at the beginning. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot." Now he mentions cold first and hot last. Why? Because only the hot, only a hot church, that's the whole church, only a hot church would qualify with God. Now you can do it as an individual. You don't need to have the church. You can just do it. Everyone's free to do whatever you want to do. But if you had one hot person in the church, you hope it's the pastor, at least, then he has an impact on others and could influence them. He seems to be okay. I think what he said is true. I read the Bible. It sounds like it's true. And so on and so forth. But you can't lie about it. If you don't think it's true, don't say it. That'd be lukewarm. You can't mix this world with the other world. The clean with the unclean. The right from the wrong. The true from the false. The just from the unjust. You cannot do that. So God will not let you mix religion and politics. Government. Whatever. So since you cannot do it, it's dangerous to join those two together, since God forbade it. You're eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're the evil and God is the good, and he'll have to judge you that way. So that's why they're kicked out of the garden, so they wouldn't make that permanent until Jesus came. So now they can't go back and fix themselves as lukewarm. Next verse. So then, because you are lukewarm, the church, this last church, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, he doesn't want to do that. Verse 17. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I would say that's a big contrast, like a big one. You would think you're rich, and you're at. Did you know that Soros could lose his money today? He can lose it at any time, and all of a sudden the things would be reversed. But I don't think that's going to happen. But it could. He can change the whole culture in 1 second. Just say the word, boom, it's changed. And he can do the same in your life. You can be a pagan and all of a sudden you're a saint. It happened to me. It can happen to anybody here, that God is totally in charge. Never, ever, ever, for God, is the world in order. The world is not in order. So God says it's out of order. It's in the Psalms. So since that's the case, he can just a little bitty, just like that, boom. All he has to do is say the word, and it's done. So don't worry about God. He's in total control, and he loves you, and he's merciful to you, and he's gracious to you, and he's kind to you. And all of those fruits of the Spirit are just free gifts, all of them. I counsel you then, verse 18, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. When you do that with gold, what happens? When you do that with gold or silver or anything, if you remove the things that don't belong there, the dross, or when you remove the grain from the stalk, and you know it just flows away. When you do that, something happened. Big happened. Major. So that which is perfect is going to be few. We'll be the remnant. We're not going to be the carpet. We're just the remnants in the, you know, closet or something. So what's left over is you. You're the leftovers. Amen. And so, you know, want to stay nothing. You want to stay nothing as long as you are able to do that. Now, he's forgiving. You just got to say, God, I was somebody today. I was really awesome. Everybody loved me. That's okay. I got the gold star. Nobody else did in my class. And little kids will do it. It's forgivable. He's not worried about that. He's only after your heart, not after your behavior, not after the fact you were proud and self-confident and so on. He doesn't care. What he cares about is your heart. And he knows who they are. Secret, but it'll come out. I tried gold in the fire that you may be rich, white raiment that you may be clothed. So you're going to have a white robe in heaven. And anybody that sneaks in that marriage supper of the Lamb in another uniform could not be part of the bride. So that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see spiritual seeing. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If he loves you, then he's rebuking you every day because he's trying to get this sin which you're not letting go of. He knows that you're hanging on to this sin. Could I remove this one? It's pride. Could I? No. I'm proud of the fact that I've kept that all these years. I don't want to keep that. You know. So how many know that people can lie? Could I have this lie right here? No. Don't do it. And so everything in you doesn't want to do it, but he wants to do it, and he won't do it unless you consent. He believes in the consent of people. So, yes, whatever it takes. Isn't that the way we answer?
Amen. Yes.
We. Meaning all of us. That's the way we raised our kids. We, Christians, we don't do that. So, they don't feel condemned. They, in 2 seconds, they're running again or pinching their sister or whatever they want to do. And that's the way kids are. And you can't stop that. Only God can take care of sin. He's the only one that can take care of your sin. But he knows where it is. He has the Holy Spirit as a lamp. Hey, do you see anything of this one? Yeah, I see a lot of things. And so that's how God the Father likes to divvy it up that way. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. See the zeal? Right there. Zealous. Therefore, and repent, meaning comfort yourself because of the good news. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, this means any man, even the lukewarm, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I did that one day, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you know what that's talking about? The supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's talking upstairs. In the mid-heavens. You'll meet the Lord in the air. And as soon as Jesus comes back and punishes then the enemy, and I won't tell you about that right now, punishes the enemy, then he'll deliver the righteous. So he always comes with vengeance for the wicked, but innocence for the righteous. So pray for them. Pray for people that are in Israel. It's a blessing because you know that Abraham's going to make it and Isaac and so on and so forth, but there a lot of others could make it. And they're atheists today or they're agnostic today or they're just unto money, mammonists and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. Pray for them. Don't be mad at your enemies. They've never been taught. Teachers are so important in the body of Christ. Why? Because you're able to tell them the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. What a joy there is, and they won't forget. They will never forget you for the rest of their lives. You have teachers that taught you, and you know, I like this one, I didn't like this one, but I like this one. So they just like that. So you could be in one group and be a clown, and the next group be serious because you like that teacher. But this one here, you know, is wanting to say that. And so on and so forth. I did that. And so on. It's not good. I stand at the door, he's talking about the door of his church, and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's mutual. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So you're going to be with, this is your destiny. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So there's two on it now, Father and the Son, but there's also the Holy Spirit moving between them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. End. So what God is doing is wanting you to be in the third seat. So you just put a little seat on top of a seat on top of the seat. So it'll just be three chairs in a row. And you'll be at the right of Jesus, or maybe at the left of Jesus. You know, no, but then you'd be next to the Father, because he's already on the right side of the Father. So the queen always sits. Look at any movie, you'll see the queen always sits on his side right there. So you find out, same in marriage, when you marry, the way they come forward. So when you are on God's good side, you can do whatever Jesus does, because you see him thumbs up, then you thumb up. You can see him thumb down. He said down. And so in heaven is real easy, because you don't have to do a lick of work. Why? Because you're used to that on earth. You don't do a lick of work. Remember he had those 8 hour a day people? One hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and so on and so forth. And at the end, they all got the same amount. Why? Because God's merciful. I'm not talking about what work you did. He's talking about what you didn't do. You didn't do anything.
Right.
You don't merit anything. I'm not going to pay you a wage. But that was just mercy. He just paid him mercifully. God gives you money mercifully.
Amen.
He makes you blessed on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Mercifully. Right? Chad, you experienced that. That they still paid you when you were, you know, not feeling so well. That's a miracle. But God does those kind of things because you're his beloved.
Amen.
And you can't say he can't love me. If he wants to love you, let him love you. It's just no strings attached. With God, there's never a string attached. Not a respecter of any person. A pastor is not any different than someone who's washing the dishes. There's no difference. All labor is the same. And so you may get a wage from somebody and so on. It's okay. Because everybody's the same. That's why the women are right. If I do the same job a man does, she should be paid the same thing. But whether it is the same or not, I don't know that. But the boss should know that. So they're doing wrong. Don't you think God notices that? Because he doesn't see a difference right there. He just says, hey, if you do the same job, maybe even better, then you should be paid accordingly. But people trying to save money all over the place. So they'll hire young people because they get a lower wage, and they'll make a difference between male and female. That's wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. So you can't do it. So the church should be the example for the state. The church should be the example for the state. And we should be more just because Jesus, we have reliance on Jesus, and he tells you what to do and what not to do. All right, I'm finished. Anybody have testimony? Anybody want to make up something powerful about being that the lukewarm don't make it because they haven't made up their mind which one they are? So you can't fool God. You're a hypocrite. You're not whom you are. You've got to be yourself. And when you're yourself, you actually are pleasing God. Because he made you and knew that Adam and Eve would sin, original sin. And he knew that anybody born after him will sin. Firstborn son kills the second, so on. All of that is just part of human history. God is not angry at your behavior. He's only looking for a heart. The only thing that will touch that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news, and that's the only thing that will touch your heart. Everything he's ever said in this Bible is always for anybody on earth. Everybody, I don't care if they're killer or not. He loves you, and you have the capacity to actually believe if you heard his word. But since he does it historically, you'd have to read this old book. And now it's not being written anymore. You can't add any more to it or subtract anything from it. So you'd have to read this whole book of all the history of mankind. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God. So the im on the end is plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How do I know that? The New Testament tells me that. So I know it's plural, and they know it's plural. Everyone knows it's plural. So they can read it, but they don't want to get into that. But even in the Old Testament, it says the Father and His Son. It's in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is kind of a clue on that. That's a little red flag you have to pay attention to. Why does he say he has a son? What does that mean? And so they'll interpret it in a way they want to interpret it, not the way it's written. All right, who else?
Jim, I was, while you were speaking, I was looking at the translation for that word spew.
Yes.
And I've always thought of it as, you know, just something, your mouth filled with something you just
right.
spit out.
Right.
It actually says vomit.
Vomit,
which
yeah.
Which is much yeah. stronger, deeper.
Yeah. Right?
Thing.
Yeah.
From the.
He's sick of you, yeah, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, I knew that. You didn't teach me anything new on that. I knew that. I did know. Anyway, it's good. Yeah. So vomiting is a much more strong term.
It's comforting to know that I'm not there.
Yeah, and it's thrusting you out because it's a something inside of him, and he realized, I don't want you to be too like that.
Yeah.
No making provision for sin. When you go all the way, you have to go on this whole path. You can't start with 4 and not go to 5 and not go to 6 and not go to 7 and not go to 8 and not go to 9 and so on. You can't do it. Once you go, you have to mature. You have to be totally, as an adult, able to marry. That's why you can't go to heaven if you're only on chair 4. Never. Not possible. You have to go all the way with Jesus. And it's throughout the Old Testament as well as the New. If you had leprosy, you have to go outside the camp and be in a several house. But then, even if the change takes place in you, then you can only come and the priest will go out and see, you're not red now, you're white now. And so on and so forth. But you still can't come into the camp. But then the last thing is, you finally come into camp, but you can't go to the church, the synagogue, you know, wherever they meet. And so this is a process. It's not a one-time event. All Christians that I know are in chair 4. They just stay right there. I believe in Jesus. I'm the righteousness of Christ. You can say that all day long. It's not true. That's why they make provision for flesh. Right? So we want to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Don't we want to be perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't be, but we want to be. So at least our heart is right. I don't want to be a baby my whole life. I want to be an adult. I want to marry Jesus someday. Well, that's what Jesus wants. That's his desire. Will you marry me? Answer, yes.
Amen.
It's the death of you. Because the wife has no rights then. She has no rights because she's a slave. She's a doulos, not a servant. A servant is paid, but a slave. Now, a slave doesn't get any money. You're voluntarily saved. God, if you think it, I think it. If you say it, I'll say it. If you do it, I'll do it. Then you don't have any property. You don't have any rights. You don't have anything. You're under the law of your husband, in this case, Jesus Christ, the only husband you will ever have. So the human husband is a human husband, and that doesn't always work out. But nevertheless, this is the only true marriage. If you get married, Alex, you need to think about this. If you get married, you want to marry Jesus first. And then the person you marry will be also a believer, like you are.
Yeah.
And you'll feel comfortable right away with somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
So everything works out. So everything works exactly the way God wants it to work, not the way you want it to work. But then it's better.
Yeah.
I've never been happier in my whole life. Though I was always happy as a pagan, a heathen, but that's not happiness at all. I knew that. Never gave me real happiness. I didn't even know what it was until I met Jesus. And then I realized, wow, this is the life. I'll die for this one every single day. Who else? Testimony. You can make it up. Just think of something good. You can't outthink God, because he wants everything good for you.
This year I'm in a mess, I'll just be honest. And like every day just gets worse. And I'm just like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And so, you know, God keeps me close there. This morning he's like, don't limit me. And so I was like, you're right, I'm limiting you. You know, I'm saying you can't do this. And so I was just like, fair enough, go to church. So, I mean, because I am just barely making it every day.
Right.
And God's like, no, go to church. You know, and I'm like, okay,
wow.
I know. I'm not going to limit you.
Wow. That's faith. Because
yeah.
It goes against your whole being. Yeah. And he wants it that way. And that proves you're my son. You're my daughter. You're my beloved.
Hallelujah.
And those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. But it's always chastening you in hope. It's not punishment. It's not punishment. Not wanting you to be punished. He's done everything he can. You hated me without a cause. You didn't have any reason. I always loved you. And so I just want you to go to heaven. That's all. And I know every one of you. But somebody's not praying. The hot church needs to pray for all those people. Right? That and the churches that are alive today are those that do that. Have overnight vigils. They may stay for, you know, whatever amount of time, so on. They make sacrifices that don't help you to go to heaven. It just makes sacrifices because it's natural. When you know Jesus has blessed me, then I want to bless everybody else. I don't want anyone to go to hell. But they can do it on their own account. But they can't do it because God didn't love them. And so you have to tell them the truth, the whole truth. But today it's not possible to do that unless you're an individual that's dead to yourself, chair 5. So, look, self, you don't have any rights before God. On earth, maybe. But not before God. And the only rights you have are the ones that he gave you. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the dwelling place of the living God. You're an overcomer. Blah, 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 blah. So you can name all these things. You're a new creation in Christ. Those are all gifts. So the only answer you have is, thank you. You know, what can you give somebody who has everything? How can you pay God off when he has everything? All he has to do is speak, and it's done. So he doesn't need the earth. We need him. He doesn't need the earth. So your work is in vain. Next verse.
I feel like I vacillate all day long for 4, 5, and 6 minutes, Homan. And I'm just so thankful that I can recognize it.
Yeah.
Glorify him in the process of the burning through my faith.
Yeah.
Because I live right there right now.
Yeah. That's and perfect. Yeah.
It's a good place to be.
It is. Yeah, it's perfect. It's unbelievable. Yes, Jack.
Jim, could you further explain the statement you made about chair 4 and faith, and you can't go to heaven from chair 4? For example, the thief on the cross, or, you know, somebody who leaves this church, just got saved, going down the highway, their process is interrupted.
Right. Yeah, I can explain it. You might not like my answer. But since I'm not God and I'm not the judge, I can't say how God makes a decision on that. All I know is it's going to always be just judgment. I know it's going to be fair. That's why every knee will bow and confess it. He actually is God. We're not. So you can't really answer that question like you don't make it. It's just that if you deliberately, it has to be deliberate. There has to be a motive here. If you deliberately then say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, you know, you're just talking about culture, you're just talking about emotions or something else. You're relying on something other than God. So you can be born again and be witchcrafted. It's easy. And obviously, half of America is witchcrafted today. And they are doing exactly what witchcraft people do. Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you're a nothing, then you can't be nothing because you are nothing. So we're nothing apart from him. In other words, you don't have a life apart from him. You don't live by bread alone. You live by every word that proceeds constantly out of the mouth of God. So that's our life, and that's what God wants. And what he's saying there to you is, don't think just because you're born again, it's over. That's just the foundation. The next one is the house, and the next one is you ministering to others out of that house, the household of God. So the household of God is not what God wants right now, and the only reason he's delaying right now is we're not ready. We're still making provision, and then instead of confessing, we just ignore it. Or just distract ourselves with something else so that we don't want to think about it. So it's just still on your... If God knew that anyone at any time had faith in him, in himself, he's not going to want that. But if you had faith in him, he'll hold off his return until that's settled. Well, if you just let that person live another day, he already knows that other day. And he already knows. So no one is going to perish that isn't wicked. They'll perish. So that's why if you pray for them, that was a gift that you gave to them because God gave you the gift. And so you want to get along with other people. First thing is you want peace with God. Second thing, you want love in the church. And third thing is you want the love of your neighbor as yourself. So those, all those three things, God does all of those. You don't do them. How many know it says in the Bible, love one another? That'd be an example to the world. Even no words, just they can see you love one another. And they're impressed with that. Because they know if you had a sword in your hand, you wanted to chop my head off, they know that you died happily, joyfully. Why? Because life, it's in God's hands. So getting your head chopped off, it's the same as a bullet. It's the same as just getting an underlying, you know, something that kills you. So dying is not the problem. It's living that's the problem. While you're alive, do all you can to conform to God, right? Living for God is only a God thing. You can't do that. But you can say, God, whatever it takes, if there be any wicked way in me, you know, show it to me. And I won't do it, but I'll confess that, and then you do it. That's your job to do. Keep your promise. All right. God is good. Anyone else want to make up anything? Yes, Raul.
I just have to say that those, it sounds like a hard, it sounds a little hard whenever you get the disciple and all of that other stuff. But I don't know. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that when God shows me my sin,
yeah,
my life,
right,
to your point, it doesn't make me feel bad about myself.
Right.
It just makes me see that there's something, and I know that God loves me.
Right.
And so I just confess it to God, and I keep on wanting God to show that to me.
Right.
Because it makes me happier.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
Rather than depressed, because you know, a lot of people say, you know, see, you're a drunk, now go to AA, and you know, you feel bad, and you sit there and you cry and do all that stuff, but I don't do any of that stuff. That's not
right.
What God does.
Right.
But, so, in other words, I rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get out of God's hand when
right.
You're just resting.
Right. Anytime, if it wasn't set up the way I just said it, set up, you'll justify your sin. If you start talking, that's already a good work. Well, you know, Lord, because of that, and you're going to justify yourself. So it's okay to say, God, forgive me. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, easily, he'll forgive any sin you've ever done. Ever. Ever. So since there's no lack of love, this God really, actually, really loves you. And all you got to do is keep your eyes on him. And if he can do it, you can do it. But you can't. He actually does it for you because your faith is in Jesus. That's it. So that's wonderful that you have a sub. You have a substitute teacher. You have a substitute. And this substitute is, hey, yeah, get to make another $75 or something for the day. And the sub is Jesus.
Yeah.
It's always Jesus. So Jesus has easily said, you can't handle that. Let me handle that. Because I'm perfect, you're not. You're on your way, but you're not there yet. So the way is right here. 4, 5, and 6. Or 7 and so on. It just keeps going on. You're not perfect yet, but you will be. Because he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. Finish it. When he said on the cross, it is finished, he was only talking about the priestly role. Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When he comes back, he'll be king. Because he always was a king. He's never not been a king. And he's already been seeing everything and everybody. And he knows what justice is and what it isn't. Knowing God, that's it. If you just let God love you and let God not make you do something to pay him off. The bondage of the will is what it takes. You have to realize, I can't do what I can't do. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Why feel sorry for yourself? I just can't do it. Well, it's because you're only three. You know, whatever. And so, three-year-olds can't do everything. They're trying to drag something that they can't drag or, you know, move something. And they get frustrated. You can't do what you can't do.
Right.
So God knows what you can do. It's at least this. Thank you. Or you say, I can't. He's okay with that. You just don't have to do anything. If you do it, then you get a merit. But that's an illusion. That's a fiction. There is no. So everything today is out of order. Everything is out of order. You just change it one degree. Boom. It's over. You'll have 360 days, 42 months, and you'll also have 1,260 days in a year. We don't have that now. We're on a different calendar. There have been many calendars in the world. So the old sundial, that's probably a pretty good one, because the universe hasn't really changed that much. And every time you see a falling star, that's a big one. But it's nothing for God. Don't you know that God, and people have proven this scientifically, there is no random star just falling. God actually moved it. So they found out there's no such thing as that is on an elliptical course or that is on a certain degree. So science, the more it learns, then the more it learns that it can't learn all that it learns. Because relax. All right. So God is good. Lynn.
Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. We just bless you, Lord. We thank you that you're with us, that you're for us. We thank you that we're assured that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, you will hear from heaven, and you will forgive our sin, and you will heal our land. And Father, I just thank you that it's your Holy Spirit who says to us, look up. It's your Holy Spirit that said to Margaret, look up. I'm your Lord, I'm your Redeemer, and my word is for you. Not against you. Father, we just thank you that you are with us, that you hear us. And we just lift up our president. We lift up our land. We thank you for the liberty that you've given us. And Father, I just pray that your protection over our president, over all the people in his cabinet,
yes,
his family. Father, I just thank you that your purposes in our land are higher than what the enemy would do, and we thank you that he's defeated. But you're bigger. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you and bless you, Lord. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you're faithful as our good shepherd to call us by name and lead us out of every pit, of every destruction. Speak your healing and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Powerful, powerful prayer. Thank you for praying for the president and cabinet and so on. Because everyone is, you know, hysterical today. They're giving up hope, you know. No, it's all going to work out.
Amen.
So don't worry, the pastors go first. You're all right. Who's your pastor? Don't worry about it. I'm okay with it. Peanut butter, I like peanut butter. Come and visit me. Hand it up through the window. Thank you, Jesus.